Good morning. This morning, we come and we celebrate a couple of things. First, we've just witnessed Elena's confirmation into the full fellowship of the body of Christ. And second, we have come to celebrate Holy Trinity Sunday, the day when we as a church remember that God is not only our Father, but God is Son and God is Spirit. Three distinct persons with different functions. We remember the Father who spoke the world into existence. We remember His Son, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, who purchased our redemption. And we remember God the Holy Spirit, who now has taken up residence within the body, within us, to lead us to all grace and truth, who points us to Jesus Christ. God has seen to it that we have everything we need that we would believe and have faith in the gospel and that we could also inherit eternal life. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And I would ask that you would please stand for the hearing of the gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Please be seated. Now our texts are really the last words of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has died. He's been resurrected. He's breathed upon His disciples and said, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And we're about a month beyond when He had been resurrected. But now He comes to them where He will be ascended into heaven. And He had told the disciples before, He says, go to the mountain, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. Now it's interesting because we're really only talking about the 11 here. We're not talking about all those who were His followers before, but just the 11. The 12 minus Judas. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Now, I think this is very interesting when you deal with the Scripture and you really look at this. You have those 11 disciples, those ones who you would think would be absolutely strong. For they had seen Jesus' death. They had seen Him alive in the upper room. They had touched Him. They had put their hands the prints in His hands and in His side. And they had eaten with Him. They knew He was alive. And yet, it shows us the weakness of human beings. Because many times in our lives, we would say, well, if God would just give us a sign, if He'd just show us something concrete, well, then I could believe. Then I'd make sure I would believe. Jesus had already shown them all. They had already touched Him. We always kind of think of doubt, we always go back to doubting Thomas. But here we see that any of the disciples could have been doubting. They come to that point because the problem is not that we haven't seen It's that our flesh is weak. Belief is not something that's done by human strength and power. Belief is not something that can be reasoned into or argued into. I know I've said this many times. I wish I knew the exact formula that I could argue somebody into believing the gospel. But it's not there. You can't do it. Because by human reason and intellect, this does not happen. And yet, they fell down and they worshipped Him. Now, according to the scriptures that they believed, we certainly would remember the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." Now, I just went through all that stuff this last week and saw all those commands, and the first thing that these 11 do is they fall down and they worship Jesus Christ, showing that Jesus Christ is indeed God, showing that He is the Son of God. And God Himself says this as Jesus is baptized, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You see, the whole object or the whole idea of the Trinity is introduced within this text today, and we'll get down to the end of it. But it's one of those things that's hard to explain. It's hard to really grasp. Well, if there's one God and we're only supposed to worship one God, and now you're talking about God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, now it sounds like we're polytheistic. But they're one. This is one of those things which you would deal with as mystery. I can't come up here and give you the formula and exactly how this works. I'd love to. But to be perfectly honest, I don't know. But the doctrine of the Trinity is something that has been celebrated in the church for 2,000 years. Because He goes on and talks about the authority that has been given to Him, and then tells us who to go baptize in the name of. Jesus came to them saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been given by the Father authority over everything. And it's one of those interesting things, because somehow we think that evil can compare to God. That somehow Satan is going to have the same type of power, and that we, as followers and believers in Him, have to worry about this thing. But I did something earlier as I was looking at this, and I started to think about the power of God. And the other text that we didn't hear today that's within the pericope for Holy Trinity Sunday is Genesis chapter 1. And this is the God that we're dealing with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and the void and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And as we continue on through that chapter in Genesis, we find out that God, by His mere speaking, created everything that you and I can see, can taste, can smell, and can witness. This is the power that God has. This is the power that our Lord and Savior has now, or now possesses, because God has given it to Him. He now has authority over all of creation. Is there anything that we as His body need worry about? He gives us an instruction within our text. He says, "Now go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Right at the end, as Jesus has already told his disciples that he has authority, he now gives them instructions. And these instructions are also for us. That we would go forth and make disciples of all nations. That we would teach people to be followers, not of us, but of Jesus Christ. Not of the things that we think that are right and correct, but the things that Jesus has commanded. Because we are supposed to teach them all that I have commanded you. And Jesus' great command for us was that we would love. That we would love God and we would love our neighbor. We went through that whole thing not too long ago. But those are the things that Jesus commands of us. And in that is summed up all of the law. All the things that we went through and made Elena learn this week, in this past 2 years, are summed up in the fact of loving God and loving your neighbor. Now, I've had people say, "You know, you make this thing too simple." I didn't make it simple. It wasn't me who gave the commands. It wasn't me who said all that is necessary is faith. It was God Himself. But if you think that loving God is easy, be realistic. And think how many times in our lives we even break that command. And if you think loving your neighbor is simple, think about your life and how many times you're mad at your spouse, your children, people around you. Christianity is hardly simple. But God, by His great knowledge of who we are, knew that we couldn't do this on our own. And Jesus kind of tells us this in the end. And He says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Because something more was going to be made manifest that Jesus had done for His disciples. When He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." The day of Pentecost would come, which we talked about last week. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be given out to His body. And we would be able to call Jesus Christ Lord. And I'm going to read from a text we had from last week. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit." It is by the power of the Spirit of God that now indwells the body that we are able to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. For we have no power on our own. We would be a lot like the disciples who see Jesus physically, they're standing in front of them, and yet they doubt. And yet, truthfully, if most of us are honest, there are times in our lives when we doubt. Times when we wonder, am I banging my head against the wall? And is this really necessary? And that's when we start, when we're relying on ourselves. Because the power of the Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit that indeed we are the children of God. That Jesus Christ went to the cross. even having all that power and authority, allowed himself to be nailed to that cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. That belief in something that seems inexplainable is by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. You see, we need God the Father, the Holy One, the One who is exacting, perfect, just, and absolutely righteous, the Creator of all. He gives us a place to stand and the perfection to look at. But we as human beings, because of our fallen nature, have dipped into sin. And Jesus Christ, true God, allowed himself to be our sacrifice. Allowed himself to be put upon the cross to shed his blood for our forgiveness. This doesn't make sense in human terms. Why would a perfect, holy, and righteous God want to save evil, mean, nasty human beings? But that's the Father's perfect love for us. And so that we would believe that all that is true, God poured out His God the Holy Spirit upon the planet, that we all could be called through the Word into faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That Spirit would witness to our spirit that we are children of God. How all this stuff works out in an exacting manner, can I explain it with technical ease? Absolutely not. What I know is God the Father has given us God the Son as our sacrifice, that He would shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and has given us the Holy Spirit to draw us and point us to Jesus Christ and the love God has demonstrated through Him for us. Why do we get together and why do we remember Holy Trinity Sunday? So that we would remember these things. That we would be able to come together and to understand that God has provided everything for us so that we can be His children and that we can know that we are His children. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks for Your Spirit, who guides us to Your Son, Father, who reunites us by His sacrificial act with You. We ask that You would continue by the power of that Spirit and through Your Word to draw us closer to You, that we would know of Your love for us. Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.